Hare Krishna. Every day during my morning therapy, which is it's not the longest therapy, but it's the most intensive massage therapy now, with three people who are doing it. Trakanath Prabhu reads Krishna Dharma Prabhu's Mahabharata. That's sort of our light reading for the day. Generally during the day I'm writing a couple of hours, and then 4 or 5, sometimes 6 hours I'm reading, and most of them reading 11th canto of Uddhava Gita. I'm actually sort of studying that. So that's a bit heavy going, and this is a little light contrast. And right now we're at Draupadi Swayamvara, which is very exciting. So I thought that I would narrate that Swayamvara ceremony. But here's the background to it before narrating it. And when I did the Hungarian version, I never really got to the Swayamvara, or at least I got that far. But the background took up enough time for a podcast, so I'll do the same with the English version. And so it all started when Dronacharya came to become the Astra Guru of the Kaurava and Pandava princes. The Pandavas had already returned to Hastinapur from the Himalayas, and they already had some training in military warfare from Kripacharya. But Kripacharya didn't know the science of celestial weapons, and Bhishma Dev was eager to have someone who was able to actually teach them that. And so for more intensive training and further training, he engaged Dronacharya, who by the arrangement of fate came to Hastinapur in order to be engaged so that he would be able to overcome the poverty that fate had put him into. And so Dronacharya became the Astra Guru of the Kauravas and Pandavas, and he was teaching them further in different types of martial arts and also in the art of invoking celestial weapons. And of all of the students, his favorite student was Arjuna, even though his son Ashwatthama was also getting special training. But Arjuna was so eager and so studious that Drona couldn't help but teach him things that he didn't even teach Ashwatthama. Anyway, as is the custom, when the course for teaching was over, when the students had learned everything that Drona wanted to teach them, then it was time for them to offer dakshina. And so they came before Dronacharya and said, what would you like by way of dakshina? And Drona said that, I would like you to go conquer Maharaj Drupad and bring him to me as a prisoner. So the princes were very enlivened at this prospect of a battle, putting their learning to use. But they asked, please, if it's suitable, please tell us what the background to this request is. Why is it that you're asking us to conquer Maharaj Drupad? And so Dronacharya told them the story that when he was a young boy, he went to the same Gurukula as Maharaj Drupad. And they were very strong and fast friends and did everything together, shared everything together. So, and there was such a strong bond of affection that Maharaj Drupada had promised, of course, as a young boy, that when he becomes king and inherits the kingdom, then he will give half the kingdom to Dronacharya. And then their Gurukul was over and they went their separate ways. Dronacharya married, had a son, Ashwatthama, but he was very, very poor. And at the time, Drupada did inherit the kingdom. So Dronacharya then went to Drupada and introduced himself, I'm your childhood friend. And do you remember when you offered to give me half the kingdom? So here I am, please give me half of your kingdom. And Drupada was not inclined. He said, how can you refer to something that children say in jest? Children say so many things. And he said, why would I give you half the kingdom? What would you do with half of the kingdom? You're a Brahmin, you don't know what to do with it. So in this way, he humiliated Dronacharya in the court and wouldn't give him the kingdom. He was willing to give him some charity as fits Kshatriyas, but that was all. Dronacharya wouldn't accept any type of charity. Rather, he went away. And he went away taking a vow. He took a vow that he would take vengeance on Maharaj Drupada and that he would seize the kingdom from him. So this was the reason why Dronacharya wanted the young princes to conquer Maharaj Drupada and his armies. And so they all proceeded towards the kingdom of Maharaj Drupada and his capital city. And when they got there, then the Kaurava princes, 100 princes, along with Karna, were very eager to fight. So they just immediately, leaving the Pandavas behind, and without making a real battle plan, entered the city and challenged Maharaj Drupada. Maharaj Drupada did come out along with his army, and he made short work of the Kauravas. They were so humiliated that they all had to run back to Drona. Now Dronacharya told the Pandavas, all right, now you go and fight. So Yudhisthira Maharaj stayed with Drona. He stayed behind, and Drupada had come outside the city gates now with his army. And so Bhima on one side with his mace, and Arjuna, who was in his chariot and flanked with by Nakula and Sahadev, who were protecting him from the side, they attacked the army. Bhima's favorite sport was to kill the elephants. So he was attacked the elephant forces, and Arjuna attacked the rest of the army and laid them to waste. And then he attacked Maharaj Drupada, and after a fight he caused Maharaj Drupada to enter into a faint, and then he brought him to Dronacharya. So having no other recourse, Drupada had to surrender to Drona. He'd been defeated, and therefore by rights Dronacharya was the king of the kingdom. So Dronacharya spoke and chastised Drupada for breaking his word, and he said, I don't want all of your kingdom, I just want you to keep your word, therefore I will take half your kingdom and you may return. And they exchanged friendship. But it wasn't a long-lived friendship, because Drupada, as a Kshatriya, could not help but feel that he was insulted, and so he wanted some way where he could take revenge on Dronacharya. He knew that he couldn't fight Dronacharya in a single-handed combat, so he engaged some Brahmins, some powerful Brahmins, to perform a sacrifice, and he wanted that from this sacrifice that they would produce a son who would be able to kill Dronacharya. So finally the Brahmins agreed, and a sacrifice was performed. And before the sacrifice began, Drupada had another thought. He was very enchanted by Arjuna, his military prowess, but at the same time his kindness and his humility, even when he'd conquered Maharaj Drupada, and he wanted him as a son-in-law. So he asked, can you also have from a fire born a daughter who will become the wife of Arjuna? Brahman said certainly. So first Krishnadyumna was born and was shining with natural armor on his body, and immediately when he came out of the fire he hopped on a chariot and showed all the city people his supernatural prowess. And after Drishtadyumna came a very beautiful dark-skinned woman who was Draupadi. And a celestial voice said that this boy will be the cause of Drona's death, and this girl who will be married by Arjuna will be the cause of the destruction of the entire Kuru race. So Draupadi was very, very beautiful. As I mentioned, her complexion was blackish, like Krishna. Therefore, one of her names is also Krishna. And she was very enchanting. And Maharaj Drupada was very pleased that now he had this son and daughter. But now having this grown up, because she was fully grown, she came out of fire fully grown, it was his duty to get her married. So he decided to have a Swayambara. Swayambara means Swayambara. When a girl chooses her own husband, she chooses herself, Swayam, herself, Vara, husband. And to ensure that she chose the right person, Maharaj Drupada was going to make a test that all contestants would have to pass before they could be chosen by Draupadi. And so he arranged to have a big Swayambara and to a festival and to invite all the kings of the world. And that's where I stopped right now, and tomorrow we will continue.